You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. Visit PaniniAmerica.net today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
Colin Cowherd podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use. Super safe. Totally secure. Super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same game parlay bets, live betting. It's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. This is Prime Cuts, the best of the Colin Cowherd podcast. Marcus Thompson shared his amazing insight and how much blame Steve Nash deserves for the Nets' Game 1 loss, and the difficulty of the Warriors moving on from Klay Thompson to Jordan Poole. Former NBA forward Chandler Parsons was great, reacting to Kyrie flipping off Boston fans, and discussed what separates KD from the rest of the NBA elite. And Michigan State head coach Mel Tucker. Smart, transfer portal, NIL. How do you balance college football in 2022? The ratings for the first round were an 11-year ratings high. Oh, my. Oh, my. Arch conservatives, alt-right conservatives, what are they to do? The narrative has been punctured. I would argue the NBA actually succeeds sometimes despite itself. I want to give you an example. In hockey, you get a lot of upsets for the playoffs because 8 seeds can beat a 1 seed, right? Because it's all about the hot goalie. In college basketball, the number 1 seeds only win 63% of the time. Did you know that? Since they expanded to 68 teams. In the NFL, number 1 Tennessee Titans, number 1 Packers couldn't win a single game this year. But in the NBA, in league history, the top 4 seeds, the 1 and the 2 in the East and the West, win 89% of the time. And yet, ratings continue to be strong. There's no upsets. There's virtually no upsets. The opposite of every other sport. Think about that. College football's ratings have been down in recent years because it's too dominated by the SEC. NBA's ratings up 11%. We know Milwaukee and Phoenix probably get there. In fact, the lowest seeded NBA team to ever win the finals, this is kind of funny, was the 94-95 Houston Rockets. They were a 6 seed. They had Drexler and Olajuwon. Not exactly a Cinderella story. And they were champs the year before. So despite the fact the NBA, and I've been banging on this for years, they need to make first round series, 3 games, at most 5. Their ratings are up, incredibly dynamic, and unlike every other professional and college league in America, there are no upsets. The favorites overwhelmingly dominate. 89% of the time, number 1 and 2 seeds win. That tells me the NBA would be even more successful with just a couple of playoff tweaks. Tweaks, not massive changes. I want to talk about a team that didn't make the playoffs that I had high hopes for. So when Steve Ballmer bought the LA Clippers, he's a basketball addict. Seattle guy that was kind of legendary around the Pacific Northwest for just dropping in when he was one of the 3 richest people in the world, just dropping in on high school basketball tournaments for the weekend. So he buys the Clippers. And, you know, they're the number 2. They're the Mets to the Yankees, a disproportionate second to the number 1 brand. So he buys it and he gets a break. The Lakers are sort of a mess. And so here's this golden opportunity for him to take over the city of L.A. Kawhi Leonard can't stay healthy and has no leadership ability. He's nonverbal. Paul George can't stay healthy. Paul George, in the second play-in game, is not available. He got COVID. Now, timeout. Paul George, what are you doing? How do you get COVID? I'm not a believer that it can happen to anybody. I do believe if you're smart, if you wear a mask, especially for a pro athlete, you can have food delivered. You don't have to go out. I got to believe Steve Ballmer is absolutely beside himself. He's got the right coach. He's got a really nice roster. But I wonder if he regrets Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Now, he's going to have to probably run it back, what's out there on the market. But, I mean, between Kawhi's inability to stay healthy and his nonverbal personality and Paul George, I mean, if you're Paul George, you've been hurt all year, you come back. You've been erratic historically in the playoffs. I would lock myself in a room for a month to ensure I was there for my team. Just really, truly irresponsible. Don't tell me it's just random. No, it's not. It's not. Now, some people have jobs. You know, they work in hospitals. Some people have jobs there. They put themselves at risk of attaining it. Paul George is got $100 million in the bank. He can have everything delivered. He doesn't have to go out in public. Highly discouraging. Marcus Thompson, Bay Area columnist for The Athletic, author of 3 great books, one called KD, and then there's Golden about Steph Curry. Recent book, Dynasty, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. Always a great listen and a great column. So I want to start with Brooklyn, Boston. God, there was a Kyrie possession at the end of that game that was atrocious. There was a KD possession at the end of that game that was atrocious. So when you go around the league, what's the book on Steve Nash? Because it looked like it was just guys. There was just no design to either play. What's the book on Nash?
The book on Nash is he has 2 of the greatest offensive weapons of all time. And it's like, yo, clear out. It was kind of obvious. There isn't much of a book though, right? It's not a bad book, right? If you got KD and Kyrie,
right,
I'd probably do the same thing, but I'm not the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, right? So I do think the way, especially on that last possession, right, where they were playing Kyrie so soft, and then on the last possession, you know, Marcus Smart is in him, and then Horford comes to help, and they kick it to KD, and everybody's up in you. Like, that was kind of a sign where it's like, yeah, you probably should run something. Maybe you should have a set or two or an offensive philosophy. You could tell he doesn't have that. So I would say the book is, there isn't much of a book yet. And that's kind of been covered up by the fact that you have KD. KD makes you not need books as much as most coaches, right? You don't need that much of a book. But to win a championship, you probably need a book, Colin.
Well, it's interesting, and we'll pivot to this, the Warriors, in a second, because Jordan Poole, we've talked about it on this podcast a bunch, creates an interesting, like a really good dilemma. I'll get to that in a second. But when KD left the Warriors, did Kerr implement more structure to your point that KD sort of lets you free will it on offense more?
I think the problem was, there was so much structure on the Warriors. I don't think KD liked that very much. Like, KD's mindset, which makes a lot of sense if you're as great as him, is, why do I need 15 passes to get me to a spot to take a shot where I could just take that shot? Like, just let me do me. But, you know, Kerr implements a philosophy. Like, everybody needs to be moving and passing, because over time, that just wears down a defense. So I think the structure has always been the same. It even caused a little bit of issue, right? And KD wasn't shy about it. It's like, yeah, why are we doing all this? What's all this moving for, right? And even now, you get to a point where teams know the Warriors are going to do a lot of passing, a lot of moving. So they kind of prepare for that. And the Warriors' bet is always just give it time. It's like Novocaine. It works every time. Right. But there is some kind of conflict with that where it's like, yo, just isolate a guy. Like, well, I make it harder than what it has to be. But that's the Warriors' book. That's his philosophy, right? He lives and dies with it. And you get it even when you don't like it. You still get it. It makes sense. Even when it's like, okay, this is too much. Stop passing so much.
I thought the Warriors were the most impressive team over the weekend. And there's a little bit of a dilemma, although it's not a crisis now, is that Jordan Poole is emerging as like an all-star level player. And we've talked about this. When they brought in Andrew Wiggins, he was seen as a trade piece, but the culture's so strong, he's now a valuable player. And Jordan Poole has developed into an 18-point a game. Next year, it could be 2021. Klay Thompson's not quite there. He's very expensive. And they've always been a team that plays small ball for a big chunk. Wiseman's not really working. Kayvon Looney, you know, there are going to be times facing Ayton. Could be Giannis. It could be Embiid. That they need some size. The whole Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson dynamic, where Poole's often better when he doesn't have to share shots with Klay. How does that, when you watch every practice, every game, how does it feel there?
It's definitely something that's coming to a head, right? Because, and like you said, it is a great problem. Jordan Poole is forcing hands here.
Right.
There's no question. Like, take out history. Take out all the history. Take out what you know about what players can do and just analyze. In 2022, since January 1st, you could make a strong case that Jordan Poole is their best player. And that's tough to do. To know that and then be like, yeah, you're coming off the bench, right? Like, that's a tough one. And he won't like stop playing well. Like, he won't give him a reason to not do it. So it's coming to a head. And I do think Wiggins will end up being, well, obviously, yeah, Kevon Looney is going to be the odd man out. They'll play Steph, Klay, Draymond, you know, and Jordan Poole, and they'll go Wiggins. The problem with that is Jokic. So now you're saying, yo, Draymond, that's 40 minutes or 35 minutes against Jokic. So at some point, you do have to get an actual big man in there. You got to get a minutes eater. Like in baseball, you need an innings eater. They need a minutes eater. That's why he starts Looney.
Marcus, I said this the other week. I said, Wiseman's a weird fit, can't stay healthy. And they feel, because of Draymond and Steph's age, they're in a championship window here for the next 2 to 3 years. And I said, is it crazy if you called the Lakers and said, we'll take Anthony Davis, we'll give you Wiseman a pick, and Klay Thompson? Now, the pushback is Steph would never allow it. But if you went to Steph and said, Steph, we got to have a big here. Wiseman's not ready to finish this product. He's not. The Lakers, meanwhile, they need shooters big time. So they'll take a Klay. They'll go draft one. They'll take Wiseman as a project. I just threw it out there and people said, that's crazy. And I'm like, would Steph go to management and say, you can't trade Klay?
I mean, you're asking Steph to like cut off his arm because he needs a new pair of shoes. Like, that's part of who he is. I don't think they would do it because you literally lose a huge shooting dynamic, right, in order to get some size. And they've banked the entire time. It's like, man, you can make do with somebody who's big. Like, just go get somebody who's big. If you got, name a guy, Robin Lopez on this roster, right? You got something, right? You got a big, and you have what nobody else has. You have Steph and Klay. I don't know that they would give that up to get a little bit more size. Like, and also, you know what the tough sell is going to be? How you go get rid of Wiseman because he can't stay healthy and get another big man who can't stay healthy, right? Like, I don't know if you win that. Now, if you were to say LeBron.
You got Wiseman with the number two pick, right?
Yep.
Number one, Ant.
Anthony, yep.
And then, so, I mean, you weren't going to draft.
LaMelo was three.
Yeah, no, that was a kind of a three or four player draft.
Why not? I mean, if you look at what Jordan Poole has done, and he's obviously not the passer LaMelo is, but it's the same concept of, well, you don't want to draft LaMelo because you got a third guard. Well, now you got a third guard, right? And now he has to be on the court and you're not taking Steph and Klay off. So it's kind of the same scenario, except Jordan Poole is a lot cheaper than LaMelo right now, right? And that's a whole different story. Who can, will he accept the role? But in hindsight, LaMelo makes sense because you got three guards now anyway.
No, the issue with – I think to your point, they're going to move Wiggins and get some size. You can't give up Jordan Poole. And then there's Jonathan Kuminga, 6'7", you know, could be a really plus defender.
You like Kuminga.
I just think he's so twitchy. I think he just – I just don't know if I trust him in these big spots. You tell me if you – Jokic looked gassed. I find Jokic fascinating. So he just looked gassed. Denver's a team that – again, like the Clippers, they just can't stay healthy. It feels like the last 2 years, they're constantly beat up. Do you think they're a threat at all to the Warriors?
No, I don't. I mean, who are you banking on? Who's number two? Like, what's their counter? I don't know what their counter. You want to beat the Warriors? The Warriors have a counter. They have answers, right? It's one of the reasons they start Kevon Looney. Because if things don't go well, you can come with a better lineup, right? You have that ace in the hole. That's why they were fine bringing Steph off the bench. It's like, you know what? If you can't beat us with Steph off the court, you're done. But if you do beat us, we can bring in Steph. They like this stuff. They like holding the last lineup to the end. So you know they have the counters, and that's a byproduct of when you win three championships to go to five straight finals. Like, you kind of understand that you got to be able to answer some calls, right? And I just don't think – Denver doesn't have an answer. I just don't know what else they do. What else do you do? If Jokic is going to be tired, is he going to get in shape by game three? He's in shape for Jokic, but in this level of shape, I don't know how fast that diet might have to work.
The Warriors, behind their raucous home crowd, took a 2-0 series lead over the Nuggets. No team feeds off their fans like Golden State. Why? The Warriors have a younger, energetic fan base sitting courtside, fueled by that big tech money. Most organizations, those front row seats are 50-year-old. But in San Francisco, they're loud, young, passionate, and love their squad. Denver might have the MVP, but the Warriors have the star power and the loudest support group pushing them in the league over the top. The uncertainty in the world is leading to market volatility. My good friends at Legacy Precious Metals are here to walk you through why gold is the way forward through these unsteady times. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you how to roll your existing retirement account into a gold IRA. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-674-HERD or download your free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to do my name.
That's my game.
All right, Chandler Parsons, nine-year NBA vet. I brought him on FS1 The Herd about a month or two ago. He was great. And so we said, you know, let's go to the podcast space because then you can just swear and stuff and it's way, way better. You can be really authentic. So by the way, you're retired. Don't you live in Malibu, you told me?
I do. Yeah, I'm out here full time pretty much.
So what did you do today? Your life.
Today, I played a quick 18 at 8 a.m. this morning at Sherwood, which is the club that I belong to. Yeah.
Oh.
Came back to the house, took a little walk on the beach with the dogs. And you know what? The big German, actually, Dirk, is coming over tomorrow night. So I got a whole little pickleball, little chef night tomorrow night with Dirk and his wife coming over.
Okay, so you have to give me insight. I'm not bothered that Kyrie flipped fans off. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I get people that give me some crap, but I don't give them fuel. I smile. And there is racist stuff. I've heard bad stuff about Utah, Boston, where it really crosses the line. But in your years of getting it, was there ever a moment, Chandler, where it's just like, oh, I'm just not in the mood. I'm having an off night.
I mean, yeah, and it is. It's funny you say Utah and Boston. Those are two like of the legendary shit talking inappropriate fans where they just they take it a little bit too far. The Portland's, Oklahoma City, same way, like those guys. But you know what? I love it. I think the banter between the fans and the players is really fun. Obviously, every player has a line, and then if you're struggling in this situation, Kyrie obviously played there. It didn't work out, but and that you know, it's I understand where he's coming from. Like what would. That stuff is for social media almost to talk like that. Like you would never talk to, you would never tell Marcus Smart he sucks like in at a bar, right? Because he'll beat you up. Like he'll beat you up. So it's the fact that they think they can buy a ticket and they just have a free for all to say whatever they want to players isn't exactly fair. But at the same time, you know, Kyrie, you got to rise up. You got to not react to that because big picture. There was no solution. You lost 50 grand and it's only going to get worse next game.
Yeah. I think he's the best finisher under 6'4 I've ever seen in my life. And I've been watching the NBA since 72. I remember watching, sadly, Jerry West, Gail Goodrich, and an old Wilt Chamberlain. That was my first game. And Wilt had the headband. He wasn't very fast. He didn't jump as much. And the first great point guard I saw was Tiny Archibald. People won't remember him, but he played for the Celtics. I think he was number 7. Calvin Murphy wasn't long after that. I've never seen a player like Kyrie. Like, I don't know if it's quickness. I mean, he's obviously got a really pure shot. If I'd never seen Kyrie play, you're a scout, I'm the GM. Describe him to me.
I mean, the guy is just, he's poetry in motion. The guy can shoot. He's slippery. He's smooth with the ball. His layup package, like you said, it's unbelievable. He can go right. He can go left. He can reverse. He has the spin off the glass. He's got a float game to him. He's got a step back. He'll post you up. There's nothing really he can't do with the ball. I think he's an unbelievable player and finisher and ISO player. And that series also, everyone's really talking about Minnesota Memphis. I think that series is the series to watch. That feels like it should be like the finals. Like it's physical. They're getting chippy with the whole shit with Kyrie and the fans. And it's destined for a 7-game series. And that's the series that I think is the one to, you know, it's going to be awesome.
Mark Few at Gonzaga was on that USA basketball team, and I asked him once about Kevin Durant, and he said, okay, he goes, just think of how great the talent is on USA basketball. And then offensively, Durant is significantly better than every other player offensively.
Yeah, he's the guy on the team with all the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's pretty crazy. No,
yeah, Mark said, he said you really couldn't defend him, is that if he wanted a shot. You know, Chandler, I always said that in the NBA, we all think everybody can get their shot, but there's probably 20 guys in the league that can really, truly get their shot. It's not as many as you think.
No, there's the elite shot creators, but it's funny because like my boys back home, they'll make fun of a player, right? They'll be like, oh, Brian Scalabrine, he's trash. Or like, oh, I would have been. And I'm like, do you know what this man would do to you if you tried to guard him? Like, you know how good you have to be the worst player on an NBA team? So it's funny, like when like my normal friends, like they'll swatch an NBA game and it looks like they're horrible because guys like Seth Wilshere or Tony Allen or Patrick Beverly are guarding you. But like they think they'd like to compare it to their, you know, LA Fitness Rec League game.
A couple years ago, I was watching Colorado football. They had made a change at head coach, and I didn't know who Mel Tucker was. But I was sitting watching it with a buddy on a Saturday night, knocking down a beer or two. And I said, man, that dude's got a presence. Like, look at that guy. That guy looks like he could play. Well, he did play at Wisconsin. But I started noticing Colorado football that they were getting much more physical. And that's not really Colorado football's brand pre-Mel Tucker. So when he, after multiple pursuits by multiple schools, Michigan State was able to pull him away. And I said on the air at the time, I said, oh, yeah, this is going to work fast. This isn't going to take a long time. And then COVID hit. So Mel Tucker did what's virtually impossible. 2-5 first year, 11-2 last year, really still dealing with a pandemic. So you coached under Saban in 2015. And there's so many parts of being a coach. There is the development, the recruiting, the administrative, the operational, the practice coach, the in-game strategy. If I said to you, take something you took from Saban that you literally believe he is the gold standard of blank, what would it be?
He is a gold standard that's a tough question because he's excellent across the board. That's the one thing that I love so much about him is that he's A to Z. But his attention to detail is extraordinary. I mean, it's extremely important because, you know, there's a saying, how you do some things is how you do everything. Everything that he does is detailed into the letter. He's crossing every T, he's dotting every I. And that's his personal standard. And that's also the standard of his entire organization and everyone in it.
It would be very easy in the SEC to have a random rogue booster pay a player. Yet at Alabama, they'd be on reproach. We don't hear about that. And that's a rabid part of the country. You've been there where, you know, a car dealer, he just wants to be part of the whole operation. And, you know, just takes a $100 bill in a hand. Now, these days, you won't get in trouble for it currently. But what did he tell kids? To listen, these kids, it's not like they have, sometimes it's a Friday night and they want a piece of pizza. They got a girlfriend. They don't have the money. How did he preach to kids about don't ruin this puppy? Don't bring the program down. Because I know in college, I could have used a hundy so many times.
Yeah, well, I mean, he preaches, you know, being responsible for your own self-determination, you know, and doing things the right way. And, you know, controlling what you can control and making good decisions, you know, and so, and it's all about the choices and decisions that you make. They create the outcomes and ultimately, you know, that determines whether you're going to be successful or not, just not only, on the field, but off the field and not just here while you're in school, but, you know, beyond school and out in the real world. And so, you know, there's no shortcuts to success. There's no magic pill. And, you know, the good thing now, and it's been like this for a number of years, is that, as you know, when we were at school, we didn't, you know, if you're on full ride, you didn't have any money. You didn't have pizza money. So there's cost of attendance now. And, you know, the Austin, deal is 5980 or whatever. That's here or on the horizon with some schools in the very near future. And so you know, there's you know, room, board, tuition, fees, book, cost of attendance. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe eligible for a Pell Grant or things like that, and then lost the money, and then now with the name, you know, name, image, and likeness, and things like that. You know, kids do have the opportunity to have some extra money in their pocket, which I think, you know, ultimately, in theory, it should, you know, really take the focus away somewhat from that part of it, and where they can just keep the main thing is focus on school and getting it and being the best football player you can be.
Do you worry, Mel? Because of the transfer portal, you got to re-recruit some of your own kids. I've heard this from a couple college basketball coaches that they don't want to be salesmen 24/7. They like coaching. They like developing. Are you worried with all these current changes that you'll literally just be recruiting 80% of your life? Now, you know it's part of it, but are you worried about the balance between, hey, man, I got into this thing to coach, not to sell all day?
Well, coaching is a lifestyle. There's no doubt about it. It's not a job. It's interwoven in everything that you do, family and otherwise. And Jim Tressel taught me a long time ago. I was at Ohio State with him his first 4 years, and he told me you have to recruit your own players every day. That was then. That was like 2001. You're always selling your program. You're always looking to get more and more buy-in. Every opportunity you have to interact with your player, with one of the players, is an opportunity to sell your program, sell the vision, you know, sell the culture, cement the culture, hammer the culture, and, you know, and influence the players in a positive way and get them to buy into something that's bigger than themselves and to buy into the team. Knowing that if they help the team, get what they want, then ultimately they'll get what they want individually. And so, you know, I've always been about recruiting players that are currently on the team. I just think you have to do that. And so now there's no difference. It's just, you know, if you want a specific answer, you have to ask a specific question. Like right now, I'm, towards the end of, these end of spring meetings with the players. We just finished spring ball this past Saturday. And so I've got guys in here from every 15 minutes from 8 to 5. And you ask them, are you happy here? You know, just straight up, are you happy here? And how are things going? Is this a place where you see where you're going to be able to be successful on the field and off the field? Are there any issues? Anything I need to know about? Anything I can do to help? And then if there are issues, you know, let's talk about them. And, those are legitimate questions to ask. I mean, ultimately we're responsible for these young men and their well-being. And we promised them that we're going to help them be successful on and off the field. And if they're not happy, you know, here, then, you know, is it something that we can fix? Is it something, there's some adjustments to be made? And, you know, what is the cause? And we got guys, you know, they're 18, 17 years old, they're 22 years old here. And so they're all at different stages of development. I talked to a young man earlier today, and I said, hey, there was this, you know, after the season, there was all these rumors about you going to the portal, and I talked to you about it. And then I said, you know, let's revisit that. Like, what the heck was going on? You know, you were a freshman, you had a good year, and I know you were injured, but, you know, ultimately he was a little homesick. You know, he was a little homesick, and he got injured, and he felt a little detached from the team a little bit, but he worked through it, and he got his teammates, you know, helping through it, and the coaches, and he worked through it, and now he's in good shape. You know, he's fine. But I think there'd be quite a few of us that have said, would have said when we were in college that we had some, might have had some doubts about, you know, if we should be there or not, or maybe thought about maybe going home or going somewhere else. It's readily available to them now, where back in the day, that wasn't really an option.
Harbaugh and you is interesting. Big presence, played the game. Can you be friends with the coach at Michigan? You can't be too close of friends, right? You can't golf with a coach at Michigan.
I think it's tough.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not possible, because, you know, I just think it depends on your kind of your background, because, you know, you know, I was told that Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler were good friends.
They were?
That's what I was told. I think they might have had history together and Miami of Ohio cradle coaches and things like that. But, you know, it's sometimes you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, with coaches in terms of their relationships. But with this, the rivalry, the way it is, and us really not having like coming from the same tree, never been on a staff together, you know, things like that. I think it's kind of hard because, you know, there's no reason to be friends.
Right.
There's no reason to do that. There's no, what redeeming value would there be to sort of afford some type of friendship, you know, right here in the state, you know? So it's kind of just, not there. It's not like, you know, there's some guys like, you know, like Lane Kiffin I work with, and Mario Cristobal, I work with him, and, you know, Dan Lanning, I work with Dan, and Billy Napier, I work with Billy, you know, Beamer, you know, work with Beams. So, you know, Sam Pittman, good, you know, great friends with Sam. He's doing a great job at Arkansas. So, you know, obviously, like if we were, you know, in the same conference or whatever, there'd be some type of friendship there, you know, because we know each other. We work together.
Right. Mel, it's been a pleasure. Good luck to you. Kenneth Walker, by the way, took me about three carries to tell Kenneth Walker was going to play in the league. When you spotted him, did you know instantly he was going to be that profoundly productive at Michigan State?
Well, when you saw his film in Wake, you're like, man, this guy can play. This guy's a back. Like, you could see it. But then when he got here, the strength coaches were saying, hey, man, this guy's coming in the weight room. And he's like, he's that guy, like, in the weight room. Like, he's coming in, like, working. He's strong. He's explosive. He's, like, off the charts, like, in our weight room. Like, he's elite in our weight room. So then we go on the field and we start doing drills in the conditioning program. And you see him up in person. And you see him in person, you're like, okay, he is what we thought we were. Then you put the ball in his hand and no one can tackle the guy. You say, okay, we got one. Like he's that guy. And you got to remember, like that whole class of guys we brought in with him, the high school guys and the transfers, all those guys, you know, we recruit those guys off of Zoom. We couldn't see those guys until they got here. The first time that we like saw those guys, we're checking them in the house and shaking their hands, saying, hey, nice to meet you. Finally in person. A whole class of guys, we brought like 30 some guys in on Zoom calls and FaceTime.
He is a home run. He's a home run.
Yeah, tell me about it. After the first game, the Northwestern game, the locker room, I think we gave him the game ball and he tells me, say, hey, coach, hey, thanks for taking a chance on me. I'm like, thanks for taking a chance on us, man. You're the best back in the country. I'm sitting here saying, this guy's the best running back in the country, like, period, point blank. You know, it was like, it's like a no-brainer. It's like automatic. I mean, like, people didn't know because it was, everything was closed, like a practice and all that. The media wasn't at practice and things like that, you know, because of COVID and some of those things. It was just kind of, we would just come out of COVID and it was, well, it's like no one really knew except us. Like, we knew. And so, because people were asking, like, how's the running back position? How? They said, well, yeah, we got some, you know, the guy's looking pretty good. We're going to be, and we go to Northwestern game in the first place, like 75 yards out the door, and everybody's on the sideline, like, we would say that every day, man, like every single day. Can't tackle the guy.
I know. He led the country in yards after contact. Yeah.
Totally,
hips.
Everything.
You can see that's a guy. You can see the weight room on the field. That's weight room.
It's, you know, all the NFL guys are calling me and asking me, you know, as it's getting out to the nitty gritty, is there anything we don't know about this guy? Like, there's got to be something wrong with this guy. Like, what is it? Does he have some baggage? How is he with, you know, with his teammates? How is he with the academic people? He's clean. I mean, that's he's that guy. It's him. It's right there. Like, there's nothing else. It's all right there. I mean, it's rare that you get a guy like that. He's just a clean guy on the field, off the field. He's humble, and he's a fierce competitor. And he's a baller. He's a straight baller.
Mel, it's been absolutely great, man.
It's been great for me. Thanks for having me. You're one of my favorites, man. I mean, like, I'm pinching myself right now.
No, man. You're the first. In fact, we had a list of college coaches, and I said, "Get me Mel Tucker. We need to promote this guy. I really appreciate it."
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, Mel. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Go green.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show I brought Draymond Green into the volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.